Welcome along to the last leg. Jordan Norris here with WLR's brand new Monday night sports programme. We'll be hearing from the Waterford Ladies football camp following their famous win against Donegal yesterday. We have all the voices of this year's Viking Marathon on what was another incredible day for Waterford. And three cousins from Capoquin will be joining us to tell us all about their cross-continental summer cycle. Myself and John Frost are on our way to Turner's Cross for live commentary of tonight's Munster Senior Cup final between Waterford FC and Kerry. It promises to be a brilliant night of sport here on WLR. Let's kick off by going back to a famous win at Welch Park. The Waterford ladies footballers are through to an All-Ireland quarter-final clash against Cork following a famous 110-7 points win against Donegal at Welch Park yesterday. Of course, it was the first time that the ladies footballers played at Welch Park since 2003. What an occasion it was. Tomás McCarthy was there for us and he caught up with the players and management afterwards on a day that will live long in the memory for many.
Here with Waterford captain Kellyanne Hogan. Kellyanne, how proud are you of that Waterford display this afternoon?
Super game. So proud of all the girls. I think we actually played Donegal at their own game, so we're happy with how we performed and how we kept the ball. And yeah, we just took our chances, and that's what we've been working on, just taking our chances and getting our shots off, and I think it paid off today.
Fantastic scenes after the game. Kellyanne, who was in the stand cheering you on today?
Yeah, all the family were there today now, so all looking down at me now, and they're very proud of all of us. We've been working hard to get here now, had a bad loss last week, but yeah, we're happy to have the win under our belt now.
Tell us about your own travel plans, Kellyanne, because I think you were due to fly off this week. Can you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, no, I put it off a good bit now. I was due to fly off after Munster Championship, but then had my arm twisted. Then it was due to the draw went the other way, so we got the last two rounds. But yeah, I eventually stayed anyway and changed my flights. And I'm happy I did now, so yeah.
Where are you heading and when are you heading, Kellyanne?
I'm off to Chicago, so I'm going on Tuesday from Shannon. Yeah. Be a good break from the football, I suppose, but playing football out there, but yeah, won't be as competitive, I suppose.
Yeah, you must be glad to finish on a high, though.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say I would have been struggling to swallow that one if we lost now, but yeah, I'm buzzing we won.
Yeah, hoping the girls now can kick on in the quarter final.
Yeah, I'm sick and I'm missing it now, but if I don't go now, I'll never go, I'd say. But yeah, hopefully they can do it, and yeah, I'm just so proud of every single one of them, and hopefully they can get to an All Ireland semi now and do the county proud.
So I'm here with the Power Sisters, Eve and Hannah, after Waterford's big win over Donegal here in Welch Park. And Eve, first things first, talk us through your first half goal.
So I think it was just I was in the right position at the right time, and I said, might as well take the shot, it either goes in or it doesn't. So I just went for it, and I suppose I got a bit lucky, came off the crossbar, but landed on the right side of the line for us, and it gave us a great kind of boost to go out through the match, knowing we had a bit of like that 3-point like cushion, just knowing that it was a kind of a comfort zone there, that we had that behind us from the early start.
Have you ever scored a goal before for Waterford?
No.
At any level?
I wouldn't think so. Not usually on that side of the field.
Hannah, what was your view of that goal?
Oh, look, the same thing as I think when we were attacking today, we attacked in numbers and in field. And to be honest, when it came off the crossbar, I didn't know what way it was going. But when you kind of see it, everyone running back out, setting up for the kick out then, I think it was just that sense of relief, as Eve said as well. And we knew what we were going to do to set up and go at it again. And that's what we wanted to do. We know we create savage goal chances all throughout the year. And we've been putting a huge emphasis on that. When we get those chances, we have to take them and constantly watch. And it's off the post, we're on that. And, you know, as Eve said today, she was the one there, came off the post and went in then as well, so we're delighted with it.
And you stopped the goal at the other end, and they put in a big block there on Susie White. Can you talk us through that?
Yeah, sure. Look, it's the same as well. We know, like, we went out today, we know it was going to be a dogfight, and we knew that Donegal were going to bring everything and they were going to attack at numbers, and we just said that we'd go at it, and, you know, it was whoever fought the hardest, and we just all went for it. And again, there was some other savage blocks, like in the first half, Niamh Power, Aoife Murray, like, you know, all of those blocks, that's what boosts us, and we knew then we were going to go on the counter-attack and burst together.
Eve, there was great scenes on the field after the game. Who was up in the stand cheering you on today?
Well, our father was up there, and a couple of friends, and we had all the under 10 girls from around the county, which was brilliant to see them leading us onto the field at the start and then out playing at half time obviously, and then coming onto the field for the bit of support at the end, which was brilliant to see.
And what was it like playing here in Welsh Park today?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a great venue. Look, we're very lucky to be in here, and we were great. We had a great opportunity during the week as well to get a look in as well. It's a fantastic venue. It's a great pitch, and we hope to be here plenty more times again in the future. I think, you know, with this win under our belt, we'll be coming looking for it more often. So hopefully, look, the weather was there as well today, even though it was warm. But we wanted that, you know, there is a slight breeze. But again, real hain or shine, we knew what we were going out to do. And again, it was just great to have the venue here with us as well.
Here at Waterford Football Manager, Pat Sullivan. Pat, there was a big smile on your face when that full-time whistle went. Can you describe how you're feeling?
Look, it's just amazing. It's amazing for a bunch of players. We've put a lot of effort into this year. When you lose the players we've lost in the statue over the last year or two, and then the injuries we got hit there this year as well with, and you're coming into games like this where you want to be picking from a full deck. But the 25 players, the work they've done over the last couple of weeks to really dig so deep to look for. This was a target we had set ourselves the minute the draw came out and where we were. And look, we all knew going to the Kerry game, of course we were going there trying everything. But also had in the back of mind, we're going to play in a really, really good game in Kerry. And they showed it the other day how good they were, how effective they were. But today, for us, was about everything. We spoke so much on last Sunday. We met as a group last Sunday and we looked at the review of what happened in the Kerry game the following morning, and we knew we wasn't that team. We were better than that. Our own standards we set for ourselves we didn't achieve, and we're off in a lot of areas. We were here Tuesday night, and probably if you asked me leaving here Tuesday night, we're in a good place, and I would have said, yeah, we left here really good. We were nailing everything we had, done a really good job in training on Thursday. And probably today was the day that actually everything came together, everything we'd worked on came together, and we got on the front foot from the start, which was really important. Look, we knew this game was going to be really tight, and when you have a defensive team like them drop off you, but to get a couple of points ahead, they had to come out, and when they came out of their shape, we hurt them.
How crucial was that goal from Eve Power, Pat?
Oh, it was massive. It was massive. We spoke about it during the week. That one goal, probably two goals, we'd be a certainty. One goal would put us in the driving seat. We've really focused on getting that early chance, and we got a chance. We go for it, and it was an absolute rocket. It was a super goal. Put us in the front foot. And then I think the second half was a game. We knew in the first 10 minutes of the second half, this is going to be probably the difference who's going to win or lose it. And again, a couple of frees that we got, and for Emma Fitz to step up and stick him over the bar, that put us out into six. All of a sudden, they had to come out, and we probably kept him at arm's length. And I think our backs and our middle third in the last 10 minutes were just heroic.
Tell us about Emma Fitzgerald, Pat. She got six frees today, and I think it's only her second senior appearance for Waterford.
Oh, she's unbelievable. She has some talent. She actually, I'm so happy to have her, number one, but number two, she's a pleasure to train. Everything she does it 100%, and her attitude is excellent. She brings a great buzz to the team and into the dressing room. The girls love her, and she's probably at least 3 or 4 years ahead of her time, even at her age. And she'd be a girl to mark down as an all-star down the road.
High praise indeed there. What an incredible result that was for the Waterford Ladies footballers. Well done to Pat Sullivan and everyone involved, and thanks very much to Tomás for those reports. The draw has since been made. Waterford will face Cork away on the weekend of July 6th and 7th. They have beaten Cork already once this season. The other three quarterfinals, Kerry versus Meath, Armagh versus Mayo and Dublin versus Galway. Stay with us. We'll be back after these to talk about this year's wonderful Waterford Viking Marathon. Welcome back to part two of this week's The Last Leg with Jordan Norris, and now we're turning our attentions to this year's WLR Waterford Viking Marathon. What an amazing day it was yesterday. Cracking weather, 3,500 runners taking to the streets. Delighted for everyone involved here from a WLR perspective, because so much work goes into the marathon. So well done to Fiona, Des, Dean, Joe, Sinead, Ollie, all the team behind the scenes. Aveen Fallon was on duty yesterday. She caught up with the respective winners across the various courses. Those were Alexander Wallace, who won the men's full marathon, Beth O'Connor, who won the women's full marathon, Pat Fitzgerald took the men's half, Linda Grogan won the women's half, Keely Tideswell in the women's quarter, and Andy Connick in the men's quarter. So now let's look back at what was a truly wonderful day for Waterford.
Everybody, good morning. Let them know you're there and alive. The WLR Waterford Viking Marathon. We're going to count 10 to 1. 10, 9, 8. Everybody, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Mayor Jason Murphy, pull that gun. The official starts. And they're off. Best of luck to each and every one. Thank you so much for your participation on this beautiful, beautiful day. And thank you to our charity partners as well, As I Am, the first autism-friendly run here, not just in Waterford, but in Ireland and possibly in Europe as well.
Alexander Wallace, congratulations. How are you feeling?
Delighted, obviously. Tired and delighted. It was very, very hot. There was a bit of a headwind on the way out, and then kind of tailwind on the way back. So
well,
it kind of helps, but
yeah.
You miss the breeze on the way back to kind of cool, take the, kind of some of the heat off you. So like it was tough, but I'm over the moon.
Absolutely fantastic. Congratulations. You won before. You won this very marathon, I think, back in 2019.
2019, just before COVID, I won it. So it seems like a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, an actual lifetime ago, yeah.
I don't know which one was tougher. It wasn't as hot the last time.
Okay.
But the finish this year is much better, finishing in O'Connell Street as opposed to the kind of climb up from the Greenway up to the Witt Arena.
It was a lot
tougher. Like it's nice to run downhill for the last mile.
Yes, I'm nearly there. Yeah. But tell us a little bit about yourself. You're from St. Coca's.
Is my running club in Kilcock there.
Okay, but not originally from there, I wager.
From just outside Glasgow is my hometown. But I've been in Ireland since 2002, so I'm kind of half Irish now.
Oh yeah, we'll give you that. And how many times have you done the Waterford Marathon then?
I think this is my fourth time.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think this is my fourth time running since I think I ran the first one in probably 2015 or 16.
Yeah.
And
so it is a really special marathon, I think, because you're starting in the city, you're going out to the beautiful Greenway, and then, as you say, to finish in O'Connell Street. That was a great finish this year.
It's lovely. It starts obviously fantastic with the Viking clap and everything. And the course is like, as once you're on the Greenway, then you couldn't ask for much more, right? It's out and back and relatively a little bit of a drag, but you get the full benefit of the kind of downhill on the way back, and see, it's a smashing course.
The first lady home in the full marathon is Beth O'Connor from New Ross United Striders. Congratulations. How are you feeling, Beth?
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, sure, I'm on top of the world at the moment now. The body cramps will kick in later, all right, but for the moment, I'm delighted altogether. I came here last year. It was my first year doing it. I wanted to get a good reach time for London. And I'd never done it, never kind of, I just knew of it kind of thing. So I needed to get 3:53 to qualify for London. And I done, I think, 3:23.
Wow.
And I was delighted. And I thought it was such a good event. I was coming back. I was definitely coming back. And I was second last year.
Okay.
And so I done London in April.
How was that?
That was great. Great.
That's an incredible experience.
Something I always wanted to do. Yeah. Something I always wanted to do. But yeah, I probably enjoyed today a bit more because I don't know, there was less pressure or something. Yeah, there was. So it was brilliant now. So it was great. It's great. I'm delighted. I'm really glad I came back.
Well, look, to enjoy the race is one thing, but to enjoy it and to win it is fantastic as well.
Oh, just cherry on top. That's
congratulations.
Thanks so much.
Beth O'Connor, the winner of the first lady home in the full marathon for 2024. And you heard it here, lads. Better than London. Waterford is better than London. Linda Grove. Dundrum and Tipperary, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Your first home in the half marathon, congratulations. How was it for you today?
Thanks a million. Yeah, look, it was a great race. I found the conditions tough towards the end. I suppose the first 10 miles I was steady enough and then struggled a little bit the last three, but it was a great occasion. Delighted with the win, but more particularly, I suppose, I was delighted with the run. I knew a few miles in that I was leading because I had two great ladies on the bike, Jer and Orla, with me. So that's not a position I'm used to. I knew I was leading, so I just tried to grind it out. And I was, I suppose, in a privileged position towards the end. I was pretty comfortable. I knew second wasn't on my back, so it was nice to enjoy the last couple of miles.
In studio with greatness, that is Andy Connick, first home, first over the line. Andy, congratulations, you're the winner of the quarter marathon 2024.
Thank you very much. It was a great day and great event so far anyway, and so many people out in the street, and credit to all the volunteers and people that organised the event, because a lot of time and effort goes into it. It's brilliant to see, and great for Waterford and all the local clubs and runners.
Yeah, you yourself are with Ferrybank, I see, and you were saying Ferrybank did quite well in the quarter marathon. You were first, third,
Fourth. Yeah, I think we had probably six or seven maybe coming in around top 10, top 15, but we kind of had it as a focus event this year because, you know, obviously it's local, it's a great opportunity to promote the club and to promote the group we have and the people that are, you know, training with us and that. So yeah, it was a great day out for us, and we still have a few people coming in the half, so we'll be getting out now on the course to shout them on and see them coming in hopefully to nice fast times.
Yeah, now you're saying you had to do a quite quick pace because there was somebody at your shoulder at the very end of it.
It started quite fast, maybe a bit too fast for the 10k anyway, and kind of broke away. And then when we turned off, the first half of the race is quite tough and quite hilly, and we turned off onto the greenway, then it kind of levels out or is slightly downhill. But when I turned onto the greenway, I had someone quite close to me and didn't realise they were there, so had to work quite hard then to get home and make sure I got the win for Ferrybank.
You sure did. Congratulations, wear that medal proud, and well done. That's Andy Connick, first home in the quarter marathon. First lady home is Keely, and she joins me in studio now. Let me see which mic you're on. Say hello into that mic there.
Hello.
I think that could be right, the right one. What a lucky guess. Congratulations, first woman home.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was brilliant. It's my first time coming here. I know I entered there, it was just before COVID, and I never made it, so it was actually brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
Good stuff.
It was, yeah, it was a bit lonely the last two kind of mile because the men had gone ahead of me and the half marathon, and the marathon went the other way, but it was lovely on the greenway. Yeah.
So like, would there be a bit of chat now or camaraderie as you're running along, or is it just kind of like more physical support for each other?
I think it's more mental support.
Okay.
When you line up at the start, you recognise a few people. If you do a lot of races, you recognise a few people, a few men, so you kind of try and do their pace, you know that you run with them, but you go ahead and then they go ahead, but it's more a mental support than anything else. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when they take off, that's sort of like, you know, I'm going to be on my own here for a bit.
Yeah, you try and keep with them as much as you can, but no, it's definitely, you run your own race, but it's just that comfort of knowing there's people there that you actually know. Yeah. And it's the mental support along the way. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. You said you took up running after you had twins.
I took up running when I started work in the hospital in Clonmel. A friend of mine got me into the running club. I was only running around a year, and then I was pregnant with twins. So I didn't run at all during the pregnancy, and I was injured for a long time afterwards. But since I've come back running, I've just stuck to the shorter distances, the 10Ks, and I'm doing fine. Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Just
yeah.
For people who don't know, tell us the distance that a quarter marathon is.
A quarter marathon is about 6.5 mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a marathon is 26.2 miles. So it's about 6.5 mile.
6.5 mile. And you did that in what was your time, do you think?
I forgot my watch this morning because I was rushing out of the door, but I think it said 39. Now, I could be wrong.
39,
I could be wrong.
I think it was around that
it
time.
It was around 39 minutes, yeah.
6 mile and 39 minutes. It's really, really impressive. Listen, congratulations. You have your medal. First woman home in the Waterford Viking Marathon 2024. Congratulations.
Thank Billy. You very much. Thank you.
Thanks a million.
This is The Last Leg with Jordan Norris. And for the final part of this week's show, I'm delighted to be joined by three very special and funny guests who are raising thousands of euro for charity. They've already raised over 3,500 ahead of their cross-continental cycle across Europe this summer. Now I'm delighted to be joined in our Dungarvan studios by Killian, Jack and Ryan from Stand Back and Watch This. Three lads who are going on a nice long tour this summer. They're going from Amsterdam all the way to Athens, 4,000 kilometres, all on a bike in the name of raising money for mental health charities. Killian, we'll start with yourself. Big undertaking to do. Where did the idea for all of this come about?
I suppose we were just kind of looking for something mental to do over the summer, like. And Jack and Ryan were off in Florida, and they gave me a ring saying, we have to come up with an idea. Are you up for a cycle? I said, Jesus, yeah. And like, I was thinking we might cycle a length of Ireland. We might do something crazy like that. And then they said to me, we'll go the length of Europe. I said, Jesus, that's a great idea. So it kind of grew from there. We kind of said then, if we're doing something like this, we might as well do it for charity.
Yeah.
And we kind of picked on a charity that kind of resonates with it. A lot of people are from home and everybody really, a lot of people have been affected by suicide. So we said it's a perfect charity for the cycle.
Definitely. Jack, just touching on that cause as well, mental health, like it's a really common thing for people that are in their early to mid 20s in particular.
Yeah,
I know
Ollie
would fall into that age group. Common issue for young men. So I suppose when you see lads like yourselves doing something like this, it kind of helps get that conversation going.
Yeah, well, I suppose we all nearly know someone now at this stage. Like everyone has a friend or knows someone who has, you know, lost something to suicide. So it was great to... We wanted to do this cycle anyway, and since if we're going all this way, 4,000 kilometres across Europe, we said we may as well raise it for charity. And Suicide Awareness is a great charity to do it for.
I imagine trying to get the three together to agree on everything for the past few weeks, that's probably been the most difficult part of anything, has it?
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah. Hey, we're still now coming in here, we weren't agreeing on things. We commence over, we have a pint. Nothing's been agreed on, but that's the way it's going to be the whole way through it. Like,
and I'm mad.
It's going to be a bit of crack. We'll bounce off each other. We'll probably kill each other as well, but it's going to be a bit of crack. And like Jack said, we're going to raise a bit of money for a good cause. Definitely. We all said, like, we're going to, everybody knows someone, but I think Ireland at this stage for young people, everybody knows more than one person at this stage. Like, it's gone, it's off around here, like, you know.
Definitely. How's the training going so far, lads? Or is it going at all?
We've been doing a bit. We've been doing the odd, like, 20k, 40k.
You could nearly say the bare minimum, I suppose.
Yeah, the bare minimum. We're hoping on this cycle to cover 80 kilometres per day. So a 4,000 kilometre journey would take 50 days at that rate. But we're kind of estimating maybe about 60 days, just leave room for hungover days and whatever, you know.
Yeah,
like that. This is all in theory, you know.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out as we go.
But no, like, little to no training for the three of us. Like, none of us are cyclists. We've never done much cycling. We just really like the idea of traveling, like, across Europe for a minimum budget. Like, we're cycling across, sleeping in tents, and just doing it as cheap as possible. So yeah, we just see how it goes.
Absolutely. I mean, it's worked out nicely for you. I think there's been a big buy-in from the community up here in West Waterford behind it. Like, you've got a lot of support so far.
Oh, 100%. Like, and Donegan Mulcahy as well, setting up the West Waterford Suicide Prevention. Really, he's posted around and, like, gave us some good support.
Yeah, absolutely. Lads, when you think about undertaking something like this, like, as you just mentioned there, Ryan, in theory, it can be one way, but when you're actually out there doing it, it's such a different thing altogether. Like, you might have one great day where you might do 120 kilometres. The next day you mightn't be fit for anything and you might do 10. But it's a brilliant way of getting that experience of travelling and doing it together as a group of friends as well. Like, I know you're all cousins, so it's a lovely way to spend time together as well.
Well, it is, yeah, but that can go both ways. It could be a lovely, like, spending too much time together could lead to a lot of arguments as well. So that'd be one of the main problems. Three of us are going to eat the heads off each other along the way, you know. It'll be all part of the crack, do you know. So we kind of just have to, you know, wing it, I suppose. Like, it's it's not, do you know.
There's nothing set in stone.
There's nothing set in stone, yeah.
Apart from the arguments.
That's the only thing we're sure of. Yeah,
it's
raise the money. Like that, we only started the charity about Saturday. We already have just under 3,000 last. Whoa. I checked.
Yeah,
so nothing too bad so far. Like,
you set an initial target of 1,000, you said, and then you're up to 3,000.
Yeah, so we up to 5 now. When we hit that, we'll go on further and hopefully on further and further. The more the better.
Exactly, and as you say, again, it's only theory at the moment. It still hasn't even begun. So tell me, when are you flying out to Amsterdam?
Flying out the 1st of July.
Dependent on Aer Lingus.
Yeah. So Aer Lingus, you better not cancel our flight.
Actually, you know, it's myself, Aer Lingus didn't donate it either. So
yeah.
They really do want to start it.
They didn't actually share or donate the page.
I think getting something like this off the ground is an amazing thing, lads. It's just, I think it's a fantastic idea. Is it something that, like, you've always considered? I know you mentioned there getting a call from the lads and deciding that you were going to do it, but, like, did it take much persuading, or was it a case of, is it something that you've always wanted to do, irrespective of the charity side of things, to go around and do that bit of travel?
I'll tell you, it was me and Jack were in Florida at the time, and we were both roughly about an hour late for work, drinking pints. And Jack said to me, he was like, we were saying, like, we were due to go home in like a week, and we're like, what are we doing? Go home. And I said, I'm not going to work around Ireland, like, I don't like it here. And he said, would you cycle around Ireland? And I said, no, I don't have much interest, like. And he said, would you cycle across Europe? And I was like, So then I was like, yeah, I suppose I would, yeah. We ended up having a few more pints anyway. Yeah. We shook hands and then we contacted him, and without persuasion, he was...
Yeah, I think even when I rang Killian, he said, Jack, I have an idea for you. And I was like, what? He was like, I'm thinking about cycling across Ireland. And I said, Jesus, Killian, would you believe me and Ryan are just after agreeing to cycle across Europe? And he was like, Jesus, even better.
Yeah,
let's do it. So just kind of like by chance, he was already considering the idea of a long cycle. And when we had the phone call, he said, I want to cycle across Ireland. And we said, we're going across Europe. Let's do it. You know? So the three of us, it just kind of happened. And to be honest, it probably wouldn't have happened unless Killian agreed to go as well. Because me and Ryan, you know, everyone has ideas and notions that, like, don't lead to happen. You know, you think you'd do everything after a few pints, but, like, it's actually happening now. You know, we're going.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, without Killian, it definitely wouldn't. Yeah. Killian's would be the sensible and the brains behind it.
There's like a universal sense of madness within the tree. The two of you can ring him up and say, you know what, I was actually thinking the same as well. So you're all cousins, so where are you all actually originally from?
Cap Quinn.
So you're all originally from
All born and raised on the same farm.
Good sturdy young fellas.
Yeah.
The O'Connors of Capoquin.
The O'Connor farm. Yeah, the O'Connor ranch, they call it.
Are you relations to Kieran O'Connor?
Yeah. He'd be our granduncle. Our granddad's brother, yeah.
Yeah, it's a small world, lads. Yeah. He is. But tell me a bit about yourself. Let's start with yourself, Killian. Where are you working at the moment?
I'm
what are you doing?
I'm currently in college up in Cork doing accounting.
Very good.
I've the summers off. I said I might as well enjoy him, do you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And what about yourself, Jack?
I'm currently doing an electrician apprenticeship, but I've kind of taken a little bit of a career break as of now. I'm hoping to come back after this cycle. I'm hoping to come back and finish phase six, but I kind of, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity and I want to do this. I've wanted to do this sort of thing for years now, so yeah, I'll finish it when we're done the cycle.
Exactly. Yeah. Plenty of time to do that. And yourself, Ryan, what are you at the moment?
I'm an electrician, but like that, I've been working abroad the last few years.
Yeah.
I don't really like it as such, working in Ireland.
Okay.
So I came back. Like I said, we were in Florida and we were coming back and reading up then. We're like, right, what are we going to do now? I knew all I didn't want to do was stay in Ireland. I wanted to do something mad. I mean, doing something mad the last few years, so I wanted to continue.
Yeah, exactly. And like, obviously you're well travelled as well, lads, so you'll know, like, when you're travelling across Europe, there's a strong chance that you're actually probably going to be able to meet people that you know all across Europe as well, and you'll be able to get people to add into it as well.
So hopefully,
yeah. Because there's a good kind of a community aspect to it in that sense, isn't there?
100%. Yeah, we might have to get onto a few Irish pubs, like, as we're coming closer to their towns, we'll have to tell them, hey, give us an all free few pints or a meal or something.
Keep back hydrated. This, like.
Yeah,
absolutely. But like, you've been training a little bit now. I've been following your page on Instagram the last few weeks. I know you've been doing the odd 20k routes up along the likes of the Welcome Inn, and you've veered into a few pubs up around Lismore and Capoquin.
Yeah.
But
it's great.
Like, I imagine you've got, even on the ground, like, I know obviously you mentioned the donations and the support there a while ago, Ryan, but like, I imagine even when you're meeting people, like, it's a real conversation point. Like, wow, you're actually going doing that. Like,
yeah. 100%.
Ever since we put it public, like, any time we go out, like, we're meeting someone, they're like, oh, you're going cycling across Europe. Most of them are shaking their heads like we're ages, but they're right, like, we are ages, and most of them know we're ages anyway, so.
Yeah, but you're a group of ages, you have each other to do it, like, yeah.
Exactly. Not to be the only,
you kind of have to be a small bit mad to do something like this, you know. If you're kind of, if you had your wits about you, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Or the last thing you want is your wits about you.
Yeah.
And, like, I imagine no matter what, like, no matter how long you're out there, lads, whatever way it goes, there's a real determination, no matter what, to get this over the line. You'll get it done. Yeah. Like.
With over, I think it's over 90 donations, 90 different people have donated.
Yeah.
Like, we can't be letting them down now. Like, you know, we've said we're going to do it, so it has to be
it's
done.
It's kind of too late now to back out.
Yeah.
In theory, even if we wanted to.
And have you looked at it, like, in any way in the sense of, okay, like, by breaking it down, saying week one we want to be this far along or anything like that? Or is it all playing by your own?
It is a lot of winging it, yeah.
There's absolutely no intention of planning it.
But, like, I know 100% we are going to do it. Like, even if people think, oh, we're not prepared enough, they're not experienced cyclists, like, 100%, there's not a doubt in my mind we're going to complete this. Like, you know, we're three fit young fellas. We're like, it's happening. We're going to do it. Like, there's not a doubt in my mind we're not going to do it.
I don't doubt you at all. But I do
think... I was about to put on a bet with you.
No gambling on air, but... I think the most...
We'll have a chat with you after.
Yeah, talk to me when the mics are down. I think the most brilliant thing out of all, though, lads, will be when you actually do clock up that 4,000 kilometre, when you get to that finish line, that sense of achievement, that makes the whole venture worthwhile.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And, like, you know, as we're going, once the cycle actually starts, 1st of July, like, once we actually do start leaving and we're posting pictures every day and videos and sort of vlogs of our trip along the way, and more people start following us and, you know, looking at our trip, we'll get more and more inspired as well. That'll be inspiration to keep us going, you know.
Yeah,
like, you know, doing videos along the way and things like that, like, you know.
Well, I think the journey's been kind of funny enough before it's ever even taken off, so I can't imagine what I'm going to see in the next few weeks.
Stay tuned, Jordan.
But what about the actual route, lads? So just going down from Amsterdam down to Athens, have you broken down where you'll be travelling through?
I've been doing a bit of planning. So we're looking at Amsterdam, flying into Amsterdam, getting down to Eindhoven, then across to Germany. Working our way down, we're hitting Cologne, down into Munich, across Austria to Innsbruck, down to Lake Garda then in Italy, cycling the whole, well, not the whole length of Italy, a good length of Italy. We're going to ferry it across to Croatia, and then Croatia, Montenegro, Albania, and to finish off in Greece.
Wow. Mm. No bother to you.
Interior.
No, not a bother.
Yeah.
Sleeping in tents.
It's like a little cycle up around the V. Like,
yeah. It's all downhill.
And like, looking at the map, it's all downhill. Like, so.
But you mentioned like, you don't really have much cycling experience at all, do you?
No, not much. Like the longest cycle I've ever done would have been about 70k.
Yeah.
You know.
Faulties.
we're actually doing a cycle tomorrow as well.
Oh yeah, we're actually doing a small little fundraiser tomorrow. It's called Tour de Pints.
Okay, and where does that bring you around? I know where it ends up. Where does it bring you around?
We're starting in
Faulties.
We're starting in Faulties in Capoquin. We're cycling from there to Villierstown.
Villierstown to Aglish. And then Aglish to Kieran Pub to the Welcome Inn. We're finishing up the Welcome Inn then, having a few pints, getting the community together, and you know,
having a bit of fun, a bit of crack.
Yeah, it's all about
nothing too serious.
Yeah, nothing too serious.
It's like a mystery tour, but on a bike, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Now you have it.
Yeah,
well, you know, almost like the 12 pubs of Christmas, but we're all cycling. Yeah. It's very safe.
And like,
encourage you to wear a high vis and all that.
Yeah, high vis helmets. Everyone's, you know, it's all above board.
Yeah, exactly. All the boxes are ticked.
Yeah, don't delve too far into it.
But what I like most about this, lads, is I think there's a real social aspect to it as well. Like the fact that, like, I don't think you'll have any problem with me saying it, but you don't take yourselves too seriously.
No,
at the same
we don't.
That's the last thing we want.
Like, there's a
we're
real.
We're surprised you even believe us.
But like, I think that's the best thing about it, because especially when you bring it back to the root cause of what we're talking about here, like mental health and breaking barriers down and just being who we are on a surface level. Like, you can see straight through that. Like, I have only met the tree about 20 minutes ago, but I can see straight here what I see is what I get. You know, that's important.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And even along the way, Jordan, as we go, like, there's nothing to say that, say we're cycling through Amsterdam, we make our way through Germany, 2 or 3 weeks in, you could ring us and we could have a little interview as we go.
Yeah.
Throughout the trip, you know.
Oh, don't be afraid to give us a shout.
Yeah, don't be afraid to give us a shout. Joe Duffy was on already.
A few more of the heavies.
Throwing out names like Joe Duffy, casually, now the pressure's up against us. But just,
I can see you're getting nervous there.
More and more so now, Ryan, yeah. But I suppose, just on a kind of a closing note, lads, like in terms of the people that have donated to you so far, and you know, just to encourage people to donate so far, in terms of a message of, you know, what you are going to be doing, what's it going to be going towards, like that is going to be felt on the ground in your communities. That's what's important.
So, yeah, it's about like we're going to be helping people. That's the main thing, you know.
But like what you said, we're not taking ourselves too seriously. Like, there's, I don't know how many people online where like they're sober with a year and this for a year.
Mm.
Like, as you know yourself, like mental health's a massive problem in Ireland. Do all these people coming online, they're sober for a year, do this, do that. Like, don't get me wrong, 100% are doing great and all. But a lot of people who are suffering will look at that and they'll see like that is, they can't reach that.
There's no point to connectivity.
Look at us, they can see we're having a bit of crack, we're having a few points on the way, and we're still promoting that sort of thing, like to get healthier.
In a realistic way.
In a more realistic way to some people. Not like the other one isn't, but some people like might look at somebody who's sober with a year, 2 years, and they just see that as impossible. Hopefully they can look at us and see like, so there's more to life than just being Irish, going to the same pub every weekend.
Absolutely. Like, I remember before Christmas, I did a documentary on WLR about mental health and men's mental health in particular and young people and the issues that affect men in particular. And I remember my message box after that particular documentary went out, I remember the people that were messaging me saying what they had gone through. I think that was probably the most surprising thing for me, in the sense that like, people that on the surface are just so happy and like you would never expect anything to be wrong with them. Like everybody goes through it. So I think like the whole having the community aspect, the three of you doing it together on a united level, like I think that just drives it home. It's so important to have the conversations with your friends, even if you don't scratch the surface, like something as simple 100%. As going for a coffee or a pint. It means so much to people.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's the main thing. Just inspiration and raising money. That's what it's all about.
And even like the cycling itself could like, you know, inspire people to say, look, I'm not trapped. There's nothing to say that I can't just take off and do something. Like, we're just taking off. Like, obviously, you know, we've worked for a couple of months, we're saved up our money and we're just taking off. So it just kind of shows people that like, you know, you can do something if you feel like,
no,
if you feel like you're just trapped going to the same pub every weekend. you know, just take off.
Yeah, exactly. Where do people go to, lads, if they want to donate to your cause?
So we have an Instagram. It's at Stand Back and Watch This. It's all underscores between the words. And there's a GoFundMe link to that.
Absolutely.
On that page. So on the page, yeah. If you share, can like, get donate. A donate or even share the page.
Much appreciated.
Well, lads, I must say, one of the most interesting, enjoyable interviews I've done in a long time. You're great crack. You've got a great way about you. I think, you know, you're very easy to support and get behind. So what I would say to all of our listeners is, if you can get behind these lads and support them, go onto Instagram, follow their journey. They're documenting it well. It's a great laugh along the way. And it's all going to be felt on the ground here in the community in West Waterford. So fingers crossed it all goes to plan.
Sounds
and
wrong.
I'll be seeing you in a few weeks, lads, hopefully 4,000 kilometres later.
Much appreciated.
Thanks.
Yes. Thanks for having us on.
No problem at all, lads. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good man.
What a mad bunch. That's all for this week, but it's not all from me tonight. Keep it here on WLR, because from 7:15 we will be live from Turner's Cross for the Munster Senior Cup Final. Waterford FC versus Kerry FC. A big chance for the Blues to win silverware tonight. You can join me and John Frost for all the action, thanks to McConnell's Toyota Waterford. Thanks as always for listening to The Last Leg. A big match on the way. Hopefully it kickstarts another brilliant week for Waterford Sport. I've been Jordan Norris. I'll be back again shortly.